Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask, Lord Jesus, set the tone right now. Use my lips to speak, Lord, that which you have set before me. Use me as a vessel of honor, Lord. Open the hearts to receive, that they receive this word on good ground. Not stony, not by the wayside. That we be changed forevermore. Holy Spirit, have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week I started a series, and I really only thought it was only going to be 2 weeks long, about steadfast, being steadfast. And I titled the sermon, Be Steadfast Till the End. And the sermon just keeps growing. It started as like 6 pages and 9 pages. Now it's 15 pages. God is faithful. He is just faithful. Before we go there, though, this past week at work, I was rocked to the core. As I was thinking about it, I've told you numerous times in the pulpit here since Pastor Jeff passed away, of this life is a vapor. It's sudden. And I was thinking about this past week, my wife's aunt, I found out she got into a car wreck. She was fine. She survived, but she was going through an intersection. The person didn't yield, and they T-boned her car. Completely totaled her car, broke her shoulder. That was it. Thank God. But you don't know when your last breath will be. All the more important to be right with God. And not just you, but your loved ones. You cannot be ashamed of the gospel, and you cannot muzzle your mouth. And I was rocked to the core this week when I was told a client of mine, I just helped him in November, he purchased a house. Bought his dream house with his family. He's got 3 kids, young. I think there were 4, 8, and 11. Bought their dream house in Tinley Park. Mike was his name. Mike is 2 weeks younger than me. And Mike didn't wake up on March 31st. He died of a heart attack in his sleep at 34 years old. 34 years old. Now, I don't know if Mike was saved or not, but I implore you to know that you don't know. Every breath that I'm given, every breath that you are given is a gift from God. You do not know when that time comes. You don't. You have to be prepared. Some of you might be closer to seeing him than you think. You're not. There's no promise for tomorrow. There is no promise for tomorrow. Why you must be steadfast till the end. And that's what we started talking about last week. And I'm just ever reminded of that. Let that be a warning to you. If you are not right, get right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Our opening scripture was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it was 56 through 58. I'm going to do a little bit of a review for some of you who weren't there. The sermon is online. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 58 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that the labor is not in vain in the Lord." We talked about steadfast being an immovable object. It's firm in the Lord. And last week we talked about the times in which we live, and I think that's going to be continued through today, of persevering to the end. And we spent quite a bit of time in 2 Timothy, so I don't want to go through the entire chapter again of chapter 3, but I do want to do a quick review of this, which was that in chapter 3 he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." And last week we talked about that. Lovers of themselves, that is the sewage pipe, which all the rest of those verses flows through. lovers of themselves. They seek their own desires. They covet. Covetous, all you care about is what others have. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There's no separation. There's no separation of the church and the world. Natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And again, I don't want to read the whole chapter here because we did that last week. But in verse 13 it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue thou in the things that you have learned. As for you, child of God, continue, be steadfast in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them from. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Righteousness, God's way of doing things. His way, not our way. "That the man of God is perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We learned in Revelation of the church, and it is the church of Sardis. And Jesus said, "I know all the things you do, that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead." And he said, "Wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead." And that we talked about the church in America, that it's on last legs. There are faithful. There are those who are faithful. But there is another gospel being preached, and that's what we're going to spend some time on today. "Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again." And then we took it over back into Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Everyone that hears these things of me shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and all the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Great is going to be the fall. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at this doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." That rock was immovable, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And that's what that foundation that we must build our house, us, upon. And I closed the sermon last week with 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's how you build your foundation, guys and girls. I'm sorry, someone corrected me saying I say guys too much, but it's just me. That's my personality. I'm not being gender specific there. Studying to show yourself approved. Getting in the Word. It's the bread of life. This gives you instruction in which to go. Too many of the sermons that you hear of churches and people, they use like one scripture and they just talk for another 30, 40 minutes of just nothing. Nothing. There's no reproof. There's no correction there. It's just a feel-good time. That's not ever going to happen here. And I want you to turn over, because we talked about in 2 Timothy last week, that scripture, and he was talking about lovers of themselves. He was talking about in the church. He was talking about people in the church. He wasn't talking about the world, because he said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And I want to take that back into as far as the church. And I want you to turn over into 2 Peter chapter 2, because we're going to spend the bulk of our time in 2 Peter 2 and 3. And we're just going to go through verse by verse. And again, says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Among you. So again, we're talking about in the church. There are going to be false teachers in the church, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. For many shall follow their pernicious ways. And pernicious is harmful effects. And when you study that in the Greek, it says, especially in a gradual or subtle way. You see, the false teachers aren't going to broadcast it. They're not going to say, I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing, guys. Hey, just so you know, be on the lookout. It says it's subtle. It's gradual. They even sprinkle in Jesus. They sprinkle Jesus into the pulpit to make you think, oh, that sounds right. Remember, even Satan used Scripture and twisted it. He left parts out when he's trying to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. See, the false teacher is going to slowly try to graft you and the body towards the world, towards themselves. Not Christ, not him crucified, not the cross, not everything that's important, but to themselves, where they be lifted up. A world preaching, I heard David Wilkerson talk about preaching a gospel of accommodation. Accommodation. Not to be holy, but accommodation. You know, you can fit your lifestyle and still have Christ, and it doesn't work that way. You are to be changed, to be apart, set apart. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. See, the true gospel will not be preached. They'll say a prayer to believe unto Christ, but there's no repentance, no charge to live holy, no discipleship. That's lacking in the church today, to be discipled. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Wow. These teachers want to make merchandise of you. They want to collect you. It's a numbers game. All they care about is growing this mega church. It's a corporation. It's a bottom line. That's all it is. It's a way to get wealth and to lift oneself up, not he who must be exalted. Man, that goes back in the Old Testament. They built the Tower of Babel to be raised up, to be as God. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They partook of the apple to be as God. To make merchandise of you. I don't want to be a merchandise. I don't want a barcode on me. I don't want to be scanned. I don't want to be a dollar amount put on me. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, he also spared not the world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I love that. He saved the one who was righteous. Preaching righteousness all the way till the end, until that flood came. It turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah was just evil. It was evil. It was just sin, sinful desires. That was all that's important. There's this moral decay in our society and in America today. And we're living in that time, going back to 2 Timothy, we're lovers of ourselves. All those things fit the bill. It fits the bill to a T. As far as America. And God made him an example, except for he delivered Lot. Just Lot, it says. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He saw what was going on. He prayed. See, the Lord knows, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to deliver you out of those temptations, but you have to seek Him to do that. You have to seek Him. It says, seek Him first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. Don't pursue your own flesh and desires, but chiefly them that walk after the, here it is, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts. Again, we're talking about these false prophets, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They are going to take a mass with them. It's called the falling away. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it in pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blameless, sporting themselves their own deceivings while they feast with you. And here it is, sporting. Sporting means they take pleasure in deception. They take pleasure in deceiving. Again, it's not broadcast, it's deception. Deception has this display of truth, right? The devil comes as an angel of light. That's what it says. And it's deception. He's the father of lies. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. He's looking to deceive you. And he's looking for people to use to do that. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practice. They covet what you have. Satan covets what you have. You have been redeemed. He wants you back. He wants you in the world. Satan is coveting you. He wants you. Cursed children which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Balaam, if you don't know, was a false prophet. And in Numbers 31:16, he actually counseled Israel to commit trespass, treachery, or unfaithfulness to the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. You've forsaken the right way. The son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. See, they loved money more than truth. For the sake of numbers, the sake of a large church, leaders today are sacrificing the truth, the true gospel, to accommodate, to bring in people, to make them feel friendly, the seeker-friendly church. It's just a numbers game. It's not about souls. It's just we got this formula. Let's follow this formula. Let's grow. Let's get these people here. And there's no real change. People go in Sunday after Sunday and they don't understand what it is to walk with the Lord. They don't understand the suffering and the persecution that comes along with it. It's complacent Christianity is what it is. It's not even Christianity. It's a false Christianity. And that's what's being preached in the bulk of the churches today in America. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. Tempest is a violent wind. I think violent is fitting because the goal is destruction to you. Destruction to the church. Satan wants to take you with him. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. And I like it in the New American Standard Version. It says, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Promising them freedom, yet they are slaves of corruption. We're going to go there in a minute about what you are a slave to. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, these are people, when you read that, these are people who knew. They knew the true knowledge. They knew what it was to walk with the Lord. But they loved themselves first. Something got a hold of them. Something tugged at their heart. And they no longer seeked God, but they decided to follow their own flesh, their own desire. And they were tangled therein. And overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them again, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about being a slave to sin? A sin, you know, are you a slave to sin? Are you that pig that goes back to the mud? See, the pig gets washed off, but its nature brings it back to the mud immediately. That's where it wants to live. And you could have a sin nature, and we have that sin nature, all of us. But if you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you are become a slave to righteousness, to that which is good. That which is good is what I desire. I renew my mind every day with God's thoughts, God's word. That's my direction. I have a desire to serve Him. What does He have for me? Remember, what am I doing that has eternal significance? Instead, these are slaves to unrighteousness. They are that pig that goes back to the mud. Think about your own life. Where are you? Do you have that problem? Do you go back to the mud? Do you resist the Spirit, the quickening? Or do you? The Holy Spirit is faithful to say, you know, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't click on that screen, men, women. Don't watch that show. How are you spending your time? Are you spending it seeking Him? Are you looking to make a difference in the world? Or are you just kind of okay with going through the motions? That spirit of lukewarmness. I'm trying to tug at your heart today, because we have to be changed. It's serious times we live in. This is serious times. I got to do it, because I told my wife, I read this earlier. I've been reading this book, and I just, because we got onto that topic, I want to read this paragraph to you. This is a book with David Wilkerson, and it says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." And it just made me think about, really, how am I spending my time? And I want you to listen to these words. He says, "The world is about to burn in its foundation, shaken by the almighty hand of God. And Christians sit nonchalantly before their television idol, wasting precious time. How Satan and the hordes of hell must laugh with glee at the sight of millions of Christians sitting before his Babylonian idiot box, losing their zeal for God. Satan is succeeding through television in a way not possible by any other kind of demonic invasion. Through that speaking idol, he can accomplish in this generation what he accomplished in Eden." And this one, really, I was like, wow. "He once again is tempting and enticing with the same three seductions: pride of life, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. Television makes all three seductions possible. I'm not saying everything about television is bad. I'm not telling you to go throw out your TVs. You know, I'm constantly reminded myself as I'm walking in the Lord, how am I spending my time? Am I rotting away? Am I wasting precious time? Should I be studying something? Should I be reaching out to somebody? Should I be picking up the phone? Should I be praying for my loved ones who don't know this truth? We just talked about it. I just gave you an example of a guy who's 34 years old. He was healthy. Died of a heart attack. How would you feel if you knew a loved one who was unsaved and they were gone? Gone. There's no chance of redemption there. Because we muzzle our mouth for the sake of peace. We don't want to rock the waves. I'm praying for boldness upon you. Every night, my wife and I pray. And we pray on the church. We pray for the Holy Spirit to empower you, to make you bold. Not just to taunt people and talk down to them, but in love. The love that you have been given was poured out on the cross, that you accepted. Too much that has been given, much is expected. Much is expected. We are soldiers of the cross. Share that truth. Being steadfast. In chapter 3, the second epistle, it says, "Beloved, I now write unto you," this is Peter again, "in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, as a reminder, that ye may be mindful of words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first," here it is again, warning, "knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers," false teachers, mockers. That's what that is. That's what a scoffer is. We used that scripture last week, just that verse. And that's where the Lord just added to this. "Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." And I had another conversation with my coworker that I was talking about last week. And we got directly into this scripture. And he said, because I believe in the rapture and I believe that we're in those times, that we're in the last days, he said, you're doom and gloom. You're doom and gloom. I said, I'm not doom and gloom. I just know to watch for the signs and times, and I need to be ready, and I need to be steadfast, and I need to be bold. I can't be weak anymore. I need to be instant, in season, out of season. I need to be able to share this love with as many people as I can that I come in contact with. That's why I'm talking to you right now. He said, the end's not near. It's malarkey. That's what he said. It's like, oh man, you have missed the mark, buddy. It's been that way always. There's always, like, that's the way in World War II. You know, that's what people were thinking. It was the end then. So Israel wasn't a country then. Look at the times. He's ignorant, and that's what it says here. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished." Those were the days of Noah. He consumed the world. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So God is not going to destroy the world with a flood. He's going to consume it with fire. All those that are not in him. "But beloved," that's us, "be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." My coworkers, being slack. Slothful. "But he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It says, today is the day of salvation. Be bold to win the lost. Dad used to say, "Be win the lost at any cost." Have you? Have you? Have you considered the cost? Don't let any perish. Don't have their blood on your hands. I know there's times, and I'm just as guilty of this, and I'm not when I'm preaching here and I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to myself too, my spirit. I went through this all week going through these notes, saying, Where am I missing the mark? And there's times when the Holy Spirit says, "Yes, say something, do this." And we don't listen. We don't. We muzzle our mouth. Be bold. Satan's bold. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Wow, a thief in the night. You won't be prepared for it, for those in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. We're so concerned about amassing things here on this earth. You can't take it with you. It's all going to burn in the fire. The things that we covet so much in this world, especially in this country, those important things, doesn't mean anything. If you were so focused on amassing things, and let's just say you want this massive house, or all the cars and toys and things. If that's where your thought was, these are the important things to me in my life, these are the things I want to do, I think one way to question would be is, if you went to the doctor and he said, "You have stage 4 cancer, you got 2 months to live," what would you do? Would that change your perception? Would you want to still be trying to accumulate things or amassing things? Or would that shake you to the core and say, "Whoa, I only have 2 months to live"? That's an example of how we should be. For we know not the time. We know not the time. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I love that. Holy conversation and godliness. Very few people desire that. I remember Dad always talking about, Pastor Jeff, for those of you, always want to talk about the Lord regarding godliness. I remember we'd have meals, and get-togethers, and he would constantly try to be bringing things back to the Lord. We'd get off on some other tangent, and he would constantly be going back to the Lord, trying to get conversation. And there was times when we would join in, and there was times when we would just resist him. But it says here, you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Godliness, too. Holiness. Do you hear holiness being preached today? You have to be broken and surrendered to live this way. Pride of life leads us to live for man in our own ways. But Peter's saying to have godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. I look to that promise where we dwell with righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, I love this, going back to our topic, what are we talking about? Being steadfast till the end. It says, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hallelujah is right. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am spot free. I am blameless because I accepted him who paid the price that I could not pay. Steadfast in your faith, folks. Don't have blame on your hands for not sharing the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you bashful to share that? I've seen people have opportunities to share, including myself. I missed the mark. And I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. I need to be surrendered to be prepared to do that, to share. If your mind's not there, if you're not thinking about eternity and you're not thinking about your loved ones, how often do you guys pray? My mind's going a million miles here. How often do you guys pray for your loved ones who don't know the Lord? Are you praying for them? You should be. Every chance you get, praying that the Holy Spirit intercedes, that they seek that the gospel. Something tugs at them. Whether it's you who share the gospel with them or someone else. That opportunity. Some are saved by love, some are saved by fire. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is a salvation. See, I told my coworker when we were having that conversation, we are in extended grace right now. The Lord is giving extra time so people can be saved. But eventually, God is going to look down. And He's going to say, enough is enough. The time is at hand. Just like when He looked down at Noah and He said, they are just evil continuously. The ark was not built in a week. Warning after warning after warning. And this ark was being built. Noah was the only one righteous. Everyone else just kept going, mocking him, laughing at him. I was being laughed at when I was sharing this with my coworker. He thought I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I'm not like a doom and gloomer, but I just know. I know what this Bible says. There's plenty of warning for the people in the days of Noah. But they pursued their own desires. They were evil continuously. Extended grace. Eventually God is going to look down and He's going to say, because Jesus does not know that time. He's going to say, son, now. Blow the trumpet! Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And I read through that multiple times, and I think it reads a little easier in the New Living Translation. Those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted His letters, they've twisted the scripture, they've twisted the gospel to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of scripture, and this will result in their destruction. You therefore, beloved, again, He's charging you, you child of God, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Fall from your own steadfastness. I'm an immovable object in my faith in Christ. Or am I that house that's built on the sand so when the storm comes, it just wipes away? Am I that tare or am I that wheat? Because He's going to separate the two. And it says clearly, fall from your own steadfastness. I'm warning you. God gives watchmen. The warning is being sound. The trumpet will sound. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When we led the scripture, last sermon, it was study to show thyself approved. Study this. So you can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to close with this. It's okay, Brian. It's okay. This is the same example of what Peter was just mentioning with Paul. that we must be steadfast. In Ephesians chapter 4, 13 through 15, it says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That you grow up in him. Don't be tossed to and fro. Here's the new special of the week. You can get rich with God. You can have this awesome life. There's no promise of that when you read these scriptures. There's no health, wealth, and luxury promised to every single person. Yeah, God can use people, but it's all to glory him, to glorify him. So don't be tossed to and fro. There's only one gospel. You know that. You have to study yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take other pastors' words for it. You have been charged to study, to show yourself approved. Do you understand the importance? Your manuscript is right here. Be instant in season and out of season. Don't fall away from your steadfastness. Be constant every day. If you're lacking, Lord, I'm sorry. Where did I go wrong? Renew me. I repent for what I did wrong. Help me get back. Come back. Some of you have strayed away. Come back to the truth. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I spoke your words today. And I don't like speaking tough messages. But the times are drawing near. And someone has to speak it. I thank you, Lord, for using me, for accomplishing what you set out. I pray that the hearts be changed, that they take away the truth that they heard today. That we be steadfast till the end, until our last breath, or until you return, even so come. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord, until we get together again next Sunday, that we be disciples, Lord. We be disciples of you, that we share your truth, that we be a light to this dark and dying world. Not just our loved ones who don't know you, our coworkers, the people we come in contact with, that we share the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week we'll be continuing in steadfastness, and we're going to be talking about enduring hardship. Because in being steadfast, you will endure hardship. And that's where the sermon's going to go. So I look forward to seeing you guys next Sunday. Love you guys. You're dismissed.